Thanks for joining us at Dayspring. If you are a regular Dayspringer, welcome home. We miss seeing you face to face, but are so thankful for the ability to virtually join you wherever you are watching this live stream. It's a different kind of connectedness, to be sure, but God is still moving in the lives of those who call Dayspring home. There are lots of things in our world that look different right now, and we know that many of those differences are hard. But in this season of thankfulness, we celebrate that we never walk alone. We have the Holy Spirit who knits us together. We are one family, one body, and we're still connecting, still worshiping, still growing. We are still together. We're glad you've chosen to worship with us this morning. Maybe you're new to Dayspring. If so, we're glad to be a part of your spiritual journey. We believe there is nothing more important than your spiritual journey, and we are committed to helping people just like you deepen their relationship and surrender to the plans and purposes of God. If you have any questions or want to learn more about us as a church, please explore our website at dayspringfellowship.com. I'm Chris Voigt, lead pastor at Dayspring. I'd love to connect with you if you have questions about today's message or about the next steps in your spiritual journey. If you want more information about Dayspring and getting connected into our community, as strange as community looks in our culture right now, I'd be glad to help you do that as well. For today's service, you can find study questions and notes in the resources section of our website. And now, let's join our service already in progress.
Well, good morning, or afternoon, or evening, depending on when you're watching. My name is Michelle Snook, and I'm the pastor of community life here at Dayspring Fellowship. It is my honor and privilege to be invited into your home. I know that we have some visitors this morning. We always have visitors, praise the Lord. And if you are unfamiliar with the Bible, this may seem a little confusing. Please hang in with me. God has you here for a reason. To you who call Dayspring home, welcome back. Let's get started. The pastors meet together every Wednesday to plan and process upcoming events, ongoing ministries, sermon series, etc. We have a wonderful team that challenges one another and holds one another accountable and loves each other deeply. And as we were discussing the series on giving thanks for November, we discussed three messages, the first one being a general opener, so to speak, one on the mountains, which you heard last week, and one on the valleys. When the subject of valleys came up, all eyes turned to me. For some reason, I have had the opportunity to meet God in what most people would call a valley many, many, many times. In fact, several years ago when I was sitting in a service with my cousin where we did a stress assessment, you know, one of those long questionnaires where you give yourself a point for each stressful life situation you've had or are currently having. The higher the number in your score that you tallied, the higher your chances are of having physical consequences. It was something like on the lower end, you know, lack of sleep, weight gain, fatigue, and then on the higher end, stroke, heart attack, things like that. My cousin leaned into me and she said, "You should be dead." And I would love to say that things have smoothed out since then, but not yet. In fact, they've ramped up. Through the years, my family has experienced much loss and grief. And, you know, the past few months, I have to admit, I thought might just do me in. I remember actually having the thought, "God, I am really not sure I can keep this up. I've trusted you, and I always have known that you are with me, but today I'm just not sure." And I will never forget the moment when I had the thought, this is how people leave their faith. And it scared me. Now, I tell you this not to bring attention to myself. Don't worry about me. I'll be okay. But to bring your attention to our Savior and King, to his faithfulness. Because Jesus meets us in the valley. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you meet us on the mountaintops. Thank you that you meet us in the valley. Thank you that it is a place where we can sometimes be closer to you than we ever have been. So God, we invite you to be in us and with us this morning, drawing us near to you in your love and comfort. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, Pastor Chris gave us some new insights on how we might view the mountaintop. Today, I want to give you some insights on the valleys of life. One definition of a valley is any place, period, or situation that is filled with fear or gloom, foreboding, or the like. But another definition is an elongated depression between two uplands, hills, or mountains, especially ones flowing the course of a stream. I love streams, rivers, lakes, the ocean. I love almost any natural body of water. And in the Bible, water often represents life. For the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them into springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, we see in Revelation 7:17. Even in the valley, especially in the valley, Jesus brings us life. And if you aren't in the valley now, I guarantee you will be one day. So let's look at a healthy coping skill straight from God's word. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 142. Psalm 142 was written by David when he was being hunted down by Saul and 3,000 young fighting men. David was hiding in a cave, and Saul was out to kill him. I would consider this a valley. So let's look together at Psalm 142. It will be on the screen, or you can use your Bible app or whatever you prefer. Let's start with verse 1. I cry out to the Lord. I plead for the Lord's mercy. I pour out my complaints before him and tell him all my troubles. When I am overwhelmed, you alone know the way I should turn. Wherever I go, my enemies have set traps for me. I look for someone to come and help me, but no one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit what happens to me. Then I pray to you, O Lord, and I say, you are my place of refuge. You are all I really want in life. Hear my cry. Rescue me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison so I can thank you. The godly will crowd around me, for you are good to me. This psalm is considered a lament. A lament is a passionate expression of grief, sorrow, or disappointment. It is sometimes referred to as religious complaining. Christian rapper Kurt Kennedy has said, complaining about God is a sin, complaining to God is a psalm. Many of the psalms were written as laments, and they follow a similar pattern. A lament begins with an introductory cry to God, followed by a full expression of the lamentable states describing the difficulty. It includes what God has done and what he has not done. There are also confessions of trust that turn from complaint to confidence with the Lord, and a petition asking God to intervene. The lament usually closes with a vow of praise, and the writer is assured that God has heard and will answer the prayer. So let's unpack Psalm 142 as a lament. We see an introductory cry to God in verse 1 through 3a. I cry out to the Lord. I plead for his mercy. I pour out my complaints before him and tell him all my troubles. When I am overwhelmed, you alone know the way that I should turn. David is crying out to God, pleading for his mercy. David also acknowledges that only the Lord knows what David should do. And it appears that this is not a one-time thing for David. There are many psalms written in this fashion. Let's look at verses 3b and 4. Wherever I go, my enemies have set a trap for me. I look for someone to come and help me, but no one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit what happens to me. Here's the complaint. Nobody cares about me. I think we've all felt this way. We haven't had to hide in a cave running for our lives from a king and 300 men. But we have felt alone, like no one understands us, and even if they do, they certainly don't care. Unfortunately, when we feel this way, oftentimes we retreat into ourselves and we don't reach out to the Lord. We can even go so far as to think that he doesn't care either, which of course is not true. Or we can have the belief that my faith is too small if I complain to God, that I must not be spiritual enough, or that I'm weak if I complain to God. But here we have David, a mighty warrior, a man after God's own heart, pouring his heart out to God, and God meets him right there. One tendency we as humans have is that we can crawl down into the ditch and stay there. But in our example here, after honestly expressing how he feels to God, David doesn't wallow, but he turns from complaining to acknowledging God's role in his life. Then I pray to you, O Lord. You are my place of refuge. You are all I really want in life. This is where the rubber meets the road. When we're down, we must look up. As I mentioned earlier, I recently had a particularly low valley. I had to consciously decide that God was my refuge. I literally had to discipline myself to say the words in my head and out loud, God, you are good. Your plan is perfect. I trust your plan. It almost felt like I had to convince myself of that truth because I sure didn't feel it. I went to the Psalms. I went to 2 Samuel 12:20, where King David is grieving deeply. But after taking his pain to God and working through it in his presence, David gets up, he gets dressed, and he chooses to worship God. I listened to worship music and made the words my own. One song in particular was very meaningful, and the words in the song, which we'll sing later this morning, are, "Do what you're famous for." God is famous for restoring hearts, and my heart needed restoration more than it ever had before. And just like he did with David, God met me in that place. It didn't take away the loss or the pain, but it did take away the fear of the future. Because those words are true. God is good. His plan is perfect. I do trust his plan. I might not like it, but I do trust it. Verse 5. Then I pray to you, O Lord, and I say, you are my place of refuge. You are all I really want. In Psalm 142:5, you know, when we're in that valley of grief, we have to decide, is he really all I want in life? Next, David asks for God's intervention. Hear my cry, for I am very low. Rescue me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison so I can thank you. Here's the ask. It's okay to ask God for specific desires and outcomes. The challenge comes when things don't turn out like we had asked. We have to remember that the point of prayer is not to get what we ask for, although that sometimes does occur. The point of prayer and seeking God is to align our hearts with his so that our hearts can come to a place of peace and rest, regardless of God's chosen outcome. In David's case, he does eventually get out of the cave. Saul, his pursuer, dies, and David becomes a very popular king. But what if David didn't get out of the cave? What if you don't get out of the cave? What then? Well, I'll tell you what then. God is good, his plan is perfect, and you can trust his plan. He will restore your heart. That is what our Lord is famous for. David closes this psalm with the last half of verse 7, and David is confident in God's answer. The godly will crowd around me, for you are good to me. Again, David did get out of the cave. But even if David didn't get out of the cave, the godly would crowd around him in eternity. God is still good, even if David did not get out of the cave. And as we see in the book of Psalms, this type of prayer was a regular thing for David. We too can make this a regular thing. We can use our own words as an introductory, we can have an introductory cry to God, a full expression of lamentable state describing the difficulty. It includes what God has done and what he has not done. We can petition and ask God to intervene. We can and we should close with a vow of praise, assured that God has heard and will answer our prayer, assured that he will hear heard and answer our prayer. David had a long history with God. He spent time with God. He looked often to the Lord for guidance. He wasn't perfect, and yet David is known as a man after God's own heart. And I think that sometimes we can disassociate with biblical examples because we think we don't measure up to that example. We consider David and Abraham and Isaiah greats or heroes in the Bible. Guess what? You are great in God's eyes today. Our Heavenly Father wants a deep, meaningful relationship with you and with me, and that includes spiritual complaining. He longs to hear your heart, to listen to your cry. When you're in the valley, pour your heart out to God and then praise him. You will come out of the valley one way or another. Here is a beautiful picture of the Valley of Jefferson Park. Before the fire, of course. My husband and our daughter Amy hiked down there this summer, and they were so excited. They stuffed their packs for a two-night adventure, which involved a hike that they would take around 5 or 6 miles each way. Turns out, long story short, the hike was much longer and more difficult than they had expected. There were tears and daddy hugs and rehydrate drinks, and they emerged from the valley relatively unscathed, minus her over 400 mosquito bites. You heard me right. But look at this valley. It is beautiful. It's hard to climb out of, but it's a beautiful place to be. In fact, only days after their return and recovery, they were ready to plan another trip. And it sounds crazy, I know, but they had learned things. They had a chance to deepen their relationship. They experienced beauty that can only exist in the valley. Valleys are beautiful. They're a place where we can be challenged, we can grow some muscle, we can even be completely broken, and God meets us there. He restores our soul. He helps us climb out stronger with another notch in the belt of God's love and faithfulness. We have the opportunity to experience God in a new and exciting way in the valley. Let's be thankful for our valleys. So let's wrap this thing up. I want you to save or print the notes regarding writing a lament. And if you're in the valley now, write your own lament today. If you're not currently in a valley, sooner or later you will be. Use these notes then. Maybe you aren't actually in a valley per se, but you are struggling with something. COVID maybe, uncertainty maybe, fear, loss, grief. Whatever it is, write your lament. Or if you don't like to write, think your lament. Pray it to the Lord. He'll meet you there. For those of you who don't yet have a relationship with Jesus Christ and are just checking out this Christianity thing, all this is true for you. And it becomes much clearer when you open your heart to Jesus and invite Him to be the Lord of your life. I know that we don't want anyone to be the boss of us, but Jesus isn't just anyone. He's the only one who gave His life as a great sacrifice on your behalf, on my behalf. His love and mercy is reaching out for you today. And if you're watching and don't know Jesus, it's time to meet Him. And if that's something you want to do, please pray with me right now. Heavenly Father, I want to meet You. I want to surrender my heart and my thoughts and my life to You. I know that I am not perfect, but I know You were the ultimate sacrifice for me. So God, today I want to give my life to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer today, please let us know. You can contact us in three different ways, whichever is easiest for you. Send an email to info@dayspringfellowship.com or fill out the online communication card or call the church office during regular business hours. Any one of the pastors would love to talk with you, welcome you, and give you an opportunity to ask any questions you may have. Thank you all for being here. And remember, the valley may just be the most beautiful place you've ever been. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You again for the valleys. Thank You for the beauty that's there. Thank You that we have an opportunity to strengthen our relationship with You and develop new histories of trust and faith in who You are. Thank You for solidifying Your care and love for us in those deep places. We thank You, God, that Your love and grace reaches into the deepest valleys that could ever be to pull us out, draw us up, bring us to You. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's been our honor to have you join us in worship today. Whether you are a regular DaySpring attender or just joined us for the first time, we'd love to walk with you on your spiritual journey. Feel free to drop us an email if you have questions or want more information. If you'd like to partner with DaySpring financially, please know that we don't take any financial gift for granted. Every penny is used to share the truth of Jesus Christ, not only in Salem and Kaiser, but around the world. We have three easy ways for you to give. You can navigate to the online giving section of our website, text GIVE to the number on your screen, or mail one of those old-fashioned checks to us. Make sure to subscribe, share, and like our live stream wherever you watch it. Until next week, may the grace of God bless every aspect of your life.